Welcome to the MMA Happy Hour. I am Kyle Anthony, your host. We're here. We have interviews, MMA banter, and betting advice. This week, UFC Vegas 77, Holly Holm versus Myra Buena Silva. We're going to talk three plays here like we always do. And listen, like I posted on Twitter, if you want to follow me, at Kyle Anthony UFC. Listen, this is not a high-level card, but we're not here for entertainment. We are here to put our money in strong positions week in and week out, and I love the plays that I have up so far. Another plus money play for clients. If you want to become a client, link down in the description. But let me tell you something. Last weekend, we were plus money hitting, and it felt really good. We ended up cashing on Dricus du Plessis and as well as Pantoja. And I said to myself, listen, these are some nice plus money plays. We need to celebrate on the MMA Happy Hour. So the first shot here, we're going to give this one to. This is going to be Alejandre Pantoja, 4%, best bet play, plus 170. Cheers, my brother. That cashed in. Clients love that one. A little Casamigo never hurt anybody. And then the last one, of course, listen, the last one. Absolutely. Listen, by the way, so you can see what's going on here. Absolutely. Dricus du Plessis plus 300, got the job done, ended up cashing in over 7 units for clients this weekend. Another plus money going down this weekend, 5% max. Check it out at wagertalk.com. Let's keep that plus money going. So seriously, guys, with that being said, I mean, listen, it was a great weekend. Cashed 6 of the last 8 UFC events. Summer's been great. But we got to put that in the rearview mirror. We've got some great things to talk about here this Saturday night. You want to become a client again? Link down in the description. As well as if you want to get into the fantasy side of things, I'm going to be posting a little bit more of that this weekend on my Twitter. But Underdog Fantasy Sports, go there. Mr. UFC as the promo code. You're going to get $100 for your first deposit, and it's going to be matched. So get involved, jump in on there. Mr. UFC for Underdog Sports. If you want to get involved, that's another little spot for you. And they are the official sponsor of the MMA Happy Hour as well. So go support those guys over there. But I think the first thing we got to go in here and talk about is going to be the main event of the evening between Holly Holm and Myra Buena Silva. Now, we've got the minus 170 in Holly Holm. We got the company here on Myra Buena Silva is plus 145. Now, when you're looking at this fight here, I think the first thing that you got to look at is obviously Holly, former champion, you know, the great kickboxer that she is, high level overall. And then you've got Myra Buena Silva on the other side here. She's, you know, more of a Muay Thai traditional kind of stance. She is well-rounded. I got to give her credit on the side of submission ability, able to go out there and find those submissions when she's out there. But the one thing here that I think has really changed is we all remember Holly Holm as the kickboxer and the person that has just that volume and that output and all those great things and the versatile combinations. She really has adapted her style a little bit, and she's really gotten into more of the grappling side of things, grinding on you, holding you up against the fence, keeping you there, then working, and then keeping you there, working on the outside. And the one thing that she has done, I think, very well is because she doesn't want to sit. She doesn't have that power. She doesn't have power to go out there and just bang with any opponent, but she has the striking and the accolades to go out there and work at distance. And she either is all the way in or all the way out. And meaning she's either all the way in, pushing up against the fence, grinding on you, working on you, you know, dirty boxing, or she's all the way out. 1-2 combinations, circling, 1-2 combinations. As we all know, Holly, her cardio is off the charts. She's going to keep moving. Her just overall, her distance management, a lot of great things that she does do. And I think optically, she wins rounds and banks rounds that way. She's very good at just right now kind of making it look on the score for the judges that she's got you up against the fence. And that's a dominating position that can at least keep you there, at least hold you there, keep you there. And at that point, can look like you can get a nice round in there if you can kind of do that. And again, if she's on the outside, nice pitter-patter shots, nice combinations from the outside. And I think that's where she really does find success against Buena Silva, who does not have those accolades and who does not have the striking of Holly Holm. But I think what further really assists Holly Holm in this spot is going to be the fact that, you know, the cardio advantage is really going to be, I think, very, very high compared to what Buena Silva has had. And we've seen that she's had some suspect, you know, cardio overall. We've seen that, you know, there's been definitely some suspect situations where even where she's won, you know, I think it was Wu Yanan who she beat her. I mean, listen, she beat her. She looked good. She dominated, you know, slapped her around a little bit, did all the right things out there to get the victory. But the downturn of just the output, how she looked, the footwork was really tilting in that third round. And not that, again, not that she was in trouble or not that she couldn't get the victory or it was close. She definitely was doing the right things again, but it's the cardio. When you're fighting somebody like Holly Holm, who's going to have that output, who's going to be able to keep pushing forward, who's going to push you up against the fence, and that, to me, in the apex cage, is really going to help Holly Holm push you up against the fence, grind you out, work you, and then it's really kind of twofold, because once she's kind of grinding up against the fence, she's going to have the bigger output. She's going to have the bigger output. She's going to be able to push. It's all these lights, I think. I really think that's what it is. I got the AC up to like, or down to like 60, and these lights are hot as fuck. But with that being said, you know, the output for Holly really is what's going to be the difference maker, because not only is it going to be the grinding and grinding up against Buena Silva, it's really going to be when she's on the outside and Buena Silva says, great, we've got distance now. I can kind of get her off of me a little bit. It's going to be that output. It's going to be the volume. I don't really see how Buena Silva can really compete at that level when you're talking about cardio, when you're talking about output, when you're talking about pressure, when you're talking about pace. That's going to be all Holly. And again, pushing her up against the fence is going to be key in this fight. But you also add in the footwork. You add in the distance management of Holly Holm. That's very where things start to, in my opinion, really start to widen. How does Buena Silva win? You know, going back and watching their fights, going back and kind of stylistically how these two kind of battle it out, you know, I don't really see it, because Buena Silva, she has that traditional, the traditional Muay Thai kind of stance. She stands up tall. She really digs in, has her feet very much down to the ground. And to me, that's kind of really where Holly Holm finds success. She's going to be able to, if you're going to stand in place and you're going to stand and just, you know, and not really do too much. Now, she's heavy handed. There's no doubt that the power side of things, I think, absolutely do more go to Buena Silva, I think, without a doubt. But if she's going to be kind of just digging in, looking for the big shots and not having the opportunity to kind of push that volume, because I don't believe she's got that volume, Holly's going to pick her apart with her movement, her footwork, her distance management, the output, and overall the better arsenal. I mean, she's going to have the better arsenal of striking when it's on the feet. I don't really think that Buena Silva has the ability to get these takedowns. I think it has to be something kind of fluky for her to get the takedown. And again, when she's on, you know, when she's on top, she can do things, or when she's on bottom, there's certain things that she can do to kind of leverage, to latch onto something, look for an opportunity to kind of start submission hunting. But when she's on her back, Buena Silva does not look that good. Multiple fighters have taken her down, controlled her for rounds, and that's Holly's game now. She's not looking for a finish. She's looking to kind of grind you, work you, and those kinds of things, I think, do help her. Also, the fact that Holly is by far the more athletic fighter, by far the more athletic fighter, has more versatile striking, has all of those great things. I think she bullies her on the feet a little bit, pushes forward, keeps it going. And now, listen, there's opportunity here for a late stoppage, where at first I wasn't too sure. I was kind of like, no, this really kind of sits very well with a decision. And I think that's really where things are going. If you look at Holly Holm, I mean, what was it? It's the last time that she even had a finish was back. Batch Koheya back in 2017 was that head kick. Remember that? The head kick, she dropped her, and Batch was kind of like doing a little something. Like, I guess she, I don't even know what it was, to be honest with you. But she did a little movement, and Holly ended up dropping her, finishing her. And then prior to that was Ronda Rousey, for God's sake. So it's very far back, the last time that we have seen Holly Holm finish anybody, and we have not seen her ability kind of tilt down at all. So I think this is a spot Holly Holm goes out, gets the victory. 3. I still think this straight, the money line number is still short. I think this should continue. I think it's going to continue to swell. This is another spot. I think the number continues to swell. The money continues to come in. I don't really see many advantages for Bueno Silva at all. So I do like Holly Holm to get this victory. And I like Holly Holm to win, but I also like her via points, plus 120. It depends where you're shopping it at, but plus 120, great number on her most likely path and where she's been going in her fight. So I like Holly Holm to get the job done, plus 120 via points. And then you also want to make sure you got that money line. All right. The next one here we're going to talk about here is Melsik Bagasarian versus Tucker Lutz. You got Melsik minus 150. You got the comeback here in Lutz plus 125. Now, this is a spot here where we have seen, now Melsik, explosive kickboxer, has really, really great striking overall. I love what he does on the feet. And then you look at on the other side, Tucker Lutz, you know, he's a stocky guy, throws big shots, looks for counters, has some wrestling. You know, and we've seen this line here. If we look at this line. This line opened around in certain books, opened around minus 210 for Melsik. Money continues to come in on Lutz, which I think is kind of crazy of how much this is going. And to be honest, I really do believe more money where this is trending is Lutz is going to continue to get money kind of coming in on him. But I think it's a little bit kind of overstated when you're looking at kind of the last fight. And I think that's really where this is all starting to kind of make sense of why this line is starting to come in. It's really the last fight that Melsik had against Josh Koulibau, which is, you know, I actually am pretty high on Josh Koulibau. I think his skill set's very good. He's got grappling. He's got some striking, good footwork. The guy actually, I think, is very, very, very solid fighter. And this was a fight that Melsik was winning. Melsik, was he 2-0 or on a 2 or 3-0 run at the point of fighting him? Looked pretty good. Yes, not the highest level fighters overall he was fighting. But Koulibau, he was beating Koulibau for the first round and a half, doing well, lighting him up with good shots. Josh was also battered. I mean, you saw his face. He was battered. Koulibau was just not able to do too much, trying to counter. I really like what Melsik was doing. We're just kind of defending certain takedowns, creating space. He continues to do that throughout that fight. I really like what he was doing. I'm overall with that, kind of finding opportunities. And yes, there was a spot there where he was doing very well, and then all of a sudden he throws a kick, stumbles, and credit to Koulibau, because Melsik gave him about an inch of sunlight, kind of having the opportunity, and Koulibau jumped on him, grabbed, I mean, literally as Melsik's falling, Koulibau already had his neck. I mean, it was credit to him on just seeing all of that and finding that opportunity, and it also shows he wanted nothing, zero to do with standing up and fighting Melsik. That's how good he is. He ended up getting that submission victory. And I think that submission victory really starts to get a lot of people thinking that that's what Lutz is going to do. Lutz is going to go out there. He's got some wrestling. You know, wrestling is not his main path. Lutz is not this guy who's just going to dive at legs. He loves to scrap. And that's really where I think the wrestling of Lutz has been a little bit overstated compared to what we have seen. Now, Lutz, on the other side of it, he's not a finisher. It's not like this is a guy that goes out there and gets submission victories and just rolls guys and gets them down and has all these scrambling abilities to kind of positionally find opportunities to submission. He's not a guy that he's a lay and pray kind of guy. He's a kind of guy that positionally will win. He's kind of a guy on the top. I mean, if you look at it, 12 wins, 2 are by submission, and they were back in 2016 and 2017. So it's not that he is this elite level grappler when you're looking at it, because it's just not what he's doing. It's not what he's doing. And on the feet, if you also will also let me also add, is the fact that Melsik has fantastic distance management. Now, I know we're in the apex cage, and I know that definitely, you know, kind of pushes things a little bit tighter, but he's got great distance management, great pace, great output, good versatile striking, a lot of good things that he does do. And I think if he can, and I think he's a strong guy where he knows it's sprawl and brawl. It's sprawl and brawl for him for the entire fight. But if you look at it on the other side here, if this stays on the feet, there is, I think, zero chance. Well, okay, that's a little much. That could be the Casamigo talking, but there's not zero chance. But if they're on the feet, I really believe that Melsick can sit there and light up Lutz as much as possible. He's going to have the better combinations. He's going to have the better footwork. He's going to have the more explosive striking overall, too. And I think the other thing that if you're looking at it is the stance switching. I love that Melsick does that because Lutz, very basic. Very basic, big hooks, pretending like he's looking for takedowns, big hooks, big shots, and then coming upstairs. That's nothing that Melsick won't be able to kind of counter or find opportunities to kind of land the bigger shots or push forward. So for me, this is one of those spots. I'm kind of let me fix my chair a little. These are one of these spots where I just don't kind of get it, where I think that he has the ability to kind of push that away, work at range, push the bigger shots, land the bigger shots, and also the fact that Melsick is a southpaw, and you've got the orthodox style of Lutz. Now, Lutz is not very defensively aware when it comes to anything, but that body shot from the southpaw stance is going to be there all night long for Melsick, and he loves throwing that body kick consistently. And again, he's a kickboxer, so he's going to have elite level when it comes to that, but also it's going to be there for him. So the stance switching, very good disguising it. I think Melsick lands some really good shots early, and I think that's where he finds opportunity to get the finish and win this fight. Now, with that being said, minus 150 to me is a good number. I think that's actually a very good number, minus 150 on Melsick. But this number is, I think, possibly going to keep coming in closer and closer, because where this is trending, way people are kind of overreacting to the path of the wrestling of Lutz. I just don't really see it. I think this is a spot Melsick can get the job done. He's got the opportunity. He's got the weapons. I think he sprawls and brawls and lands some big shots here. So again, if you want to play Melsick, you may want to just watch the market a little bit. I do like the minus 150. The number has come in tremendously. I think it's well worth it. But again, you want to watch it. But I still like Melsick Badasaryan to get the job done. All righty. Now the last one here we're going to talk about is going to be Nassim Sadikov versus Terrence McKinney. I'm just going to fire this one out here and tell you guys what I do like here. So you've got Nassim. He's minus 160. On the comeback here, you do have Terrence McKinney. He's plus 124. So this is right here. Listen, we know we're getting McKinney. McKinney is going to go out. He's going to fire. He's going to throw big shots. He's going to really, really press you. He's going to look for submissions. He's going to look for takedowns. He's going to look for big shots early. He is Mr. First Round when it comes to it. That's kind of the way he's gone out there. He's got 13 victories, 12, unless my numbers are incorrect, but I'm seeing 12 first round finishes. This guy will go out there, get the job done. 5 KOs, 8 submissions, explosive guy. That first round is going to be absolutely crazy when you do watch this one. I think it's going to be nuts. Now, listen, Nassim Anderside, he's definitely more technical. I will give him the technical side, and he definitely has, you know, some ability of well-roundedness. Now, one side of it when you're looking at it is that, you know, his only loss was a submission. So there's opportunity for Terrence, who has wrestling, who kind of fell in love with his striking, because he does have the power. He's, I think, 28 or something like that. He's going to continually grow as a fighter. He's definitely going to continually grow as a fighter. But this is a spot here where competition level also means absolutely a lot to me. I always look at that. Obviously, you got to go back and see kind of how those fights played out. But this is a competition level kind of thing, and you're looking at it. I mean, he knocked out Matt Frivola. We've seen where Matt Frivola. I first of all, you know, Matt is a great dude, but besides for that, you know, he's tough, and he was able to go out there, drop him. It shows that he does have a little bit of a death touch there on McKinney. And then he goes out there, subs Eric Gonzalez. He subbed Firas Zaim. He went out there and he got the job done on certain people. Then you look at the fact that, you know, he fought Drew Dober. Drew Dober's chin is legendary, and he was close. He hurt him. It almost looked like there was opportunity for McKinney to kind of get a finish or really continue. He ends up getting finished, but it shows, again, he's fighting these tough guys, man. These are very, very tough guys overall. Even Islam, Ishmael Bonfim. I'm big on him. Now, listen, I know he didn't show up at the last fight, but because, again, it was a stylistic thing, that's a little bit different. But a kickboxing match, Bonfim is explosive. The guy has ability. And this, to me, really does show that, yeah, he got him. He caught him. But I really still think that that was, you know, was a flying knee, although Bonfim was really landing. But I really still think that Terrence McKinney has ability. He has, he's well-rounded. He's explosive. He's got striking. He's got wrestling. He's got submission ability. So he's going to continually get better. And I do like what he does bring to the table here. Now, did he fall in love with his striking? Probably. And I probably would too if I'm just lighting people up left and right. And you forget really one of your strengths, which is going to be the wrestling overall. And you add in the fact that McKinney's going to have a 4.5-inch reach advantage. I think that helps tremendously in this fight here where he's going to work at range, throw some nice strikes, mix in some of the takedowns. And you're talking about a guy that is at plus money. So for me in this spot here, I like Terrence McKinney plus 124. I think a knockout or inside the distance is a nice play also. Don't have those numbers, but I do think that that's going to be a nice spot there for him as well. So I'm taking Terrence McKinney's plus money plus 124. All right. So there you have it for the MMA happy hour. Before we leave, listen, we got to, we got it. This is what we do here. Hey, let's keep cashing. All right, guys. So there you have it. Hold on. Hopefully this thing wasn't all. There we have it for UFC Vegas 77. We're going to become a client. Link down in the description. I have a 5% max play plus money play again. That's going to be the theme. I'm going to keep hunting these, finding opportunities for us to make money. So also, Underdog Fantasy Sports, if you want to check them out, use promo code MRUFC, get a 100% match deposit up to $100. Get involved. I appreciate them also being the sponsor of the MMA Happy Hour. So there you have it. Let's cash again this weekend, and I will see you next weekend. Let's cash.